finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Just kind of a fun, exciting thing to share with you guys. I am really looking forward to this year in general. This quarter, this year has just already been wildly amazing. And I don't know what it is. You know, as soon as Marley and I got engaged at the beginning of this year, like literally January 1st, every day since then has just seemed like this explosive, like there's so many incredible things happening day after day. You know that feeling? My guess is that you listen to this podcast, you probably have been in that feeling before where you're in such a deep state of flow, like stuff is like falling in your path for your favor. Does that make sense? I think it's the most powerful thing about having strong vision. Anyway, I wanted to share with you what one of them is. So at the beginning of the year, well, we've been talking about this for a little bit. I was like, Marley, you know, we both were talking, hey, how cool would it be if we had, you know, she and I were brainstorming on how we could get the capitalist pig movement larger. And as we were chatting back and forth about it, I'm pretty sure I've not told you guys this on this podcast, but basically what ended up happening is we were like, we should, you know, I left my job under the banner of follow me on my journey as I document what happens, the ups and the downs. And I'm going to go try and make my first $1 million. And I remember that was my first goal, you know, and I was shocked that I hit it in 13 months to the day, actually, after I left my job, which is really, really cool, obviously. But I left my whole following really grew because I had this banner, you know, that people could, that I could run underneath. And I was like, follow me. There's going to be some crazy crap I go through, but I'm just going to document all of it. And sure enough, the majority of my insights, they're from me trying, you know. Most of my education comes from attempting things. And then learning from it, being like, oh, this worked, or that didn't, or I thought about this wrong, or whatever. Anyway, so I digress. Marley and I were talking about that, though, how we're like, what if we got back to that narrative, like, follow me as I do this crazy thing, you know? And so, like, what's that crazy thing? And for us, that crazy thing is, you know, can I go popularize the concept of the capitalist pig, right? You know, one of the masterminds I was in was talking about how, you know, hey, Steve, if you want to go be, you know, I basically said, like, look, I want to be the next Robert Kiyosaki. I love Robert Kiyosaki. He's the man. His books, like, changed my life. They were the gateway drug to entrepreneurship. They were the gateway drug for me realizing that I could just be different and think different. He broke down complex concepts in such a way that, and I know many of us are that way. And most of the time, whenever I'm speaking or I'm in a workshop or I'm on stage and I bring his name up, most people agree. They're like, that dude changed the world because he changed so many of us, right? And I was like, he's also, you know, getting a little bit old. Like, I love Kiyosaki. I think he's just, I've been to so many of his programs. I've got so much, like, I think I've read the majority of his books. He's put a lot of books out. I mean, he's definitely shaped my brain. And I was like, you know what? Like, so I was telling this mastermind, hey, look, I want to go be the next Kiyosaki. And you know, basically, collaboratively, that mastermind was like, if you're going to go do that, you need to write the book that redefines capitalism. And I was like, holy crap, that's not a small... Okay, wow, I just got chills on stage when he said that. Because I was like, I know he's right. But as time has gone on, since that experience, which wasn't that long ago, it's actually been more accurate for me to think of it that I don't need to redefine capitalism. I need to define capitalism. I mean, capitalism people just don't understand what it is. They think the word is synonymous with the word greed, and that's not what it is at all. You know, I always tell people that, you know, I've written a manifesto. I've written a capitalism pledge. Our slogan is get rich, give back. I am a huge believer in the form of capitalism that solves problems for profit, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what, that's the coolest form of entrepreneurship that exists. You actually are helping people while you sell them. That's awesome. You know, people thank you while they pay you when you do that right. You know, so anyway, Marley and I were talking all about this, and then suddenly it hit us, like, what if we go out and we, you know, sorry, there's like three or four backstory things that make what I'm about to say make sense, because we got a huge announcement. One of the things that really started making our heads, like three or four years ago, I kind of feel like my vision ran out. Does that make sense? And I kept trying to do all this different stuff, and things I was doing worked really well for my clients, but it wasn't working as well for me. It's really weird. I'd never been in a professional situation like that before. And then every time while that's going on, every time while I started turning my eye towards capitalism, the capitalist pig, and every time I started, you know, I just felt this draw. It was Adam Smith's invisible hand. It was like something has continued to pull me in over in that direction. So last year, I started traveling around to world leaders, asking them to please practice the good kind of capitalism. And I actually committed them to take the capitalist pledge, which is that you will solve problems for profit, you'll protect resources, you're not going to be an idiot with money once you have it. Yeah, there's 5 points, actually, and I don't know if I went through them on this podcast or not, but... And then I did that with RFK, and then I presented him a capitalist pig shirt, and he's like, I'll treasure this forever. And when I did it with Brian Tracy, like the Brian Tracy, which is awesome. We had lunch and dinner together, and I was able to give him a capitalist pig shirt. He loved it, by the way. He's like, this is awesome. We need this. He's like, this is, I was like, I know. Like, and every time I've gone off and I've started doing something other than the capitalist pig movement and banner, I don't know what it is, man. It's like, you probably have experienced that. You know, like when you're on mission, your mission. And I just, so anyway. So all this stuff has been happening, and all these thoughts and all these scenarios. And then at the beginning of the year, it was really more like, you know, November, as I make this, this is the end of March. It's like 4 months ago, November-ish, October-ish, 4 or 5 months ago. I remember I was dropping my kids off at school. I came home and I was like, Marley, I am tired of trying to grow this mission on my own. I can't. It's too big. And I think for some reason, without realizing it, I've been trying to. And I was like, I need help. And so I went and I asked her, could you help me grow it also? And so she's brought her expertise into it. And that's really where we built the swag store, right? WeArePigs.com, or We The Pigs. You know, our capitalistpigt-shirt.com. We started building, you know, and all the guts and all the underpinnings of the swag and all that stuff. Like, it's all done. Everything's created. But it's so cool. It, like, ships and delivers shirts in 7 days now for most places in the world. But anyway, I'm not trying to pitch you on it. I'm just trying to give you some context of the announcement. The first time I ever did the capitalist pig thing was an event that I had in 2018. It was the very first OfferMind event. I was the only speaker for 2 days. I don't really know how to get other speakers involved in something. Since then, I've done 32, 31 events, something like that. I've done a lot of events. I speak on stages a bunch. If you ever want me to speak at one of your things, let me know. I'm all for it. I love doing it. I'm good on stage because I have failed so much on stage. I've got some pretty seasoned stage licks. But anyway, so the capitalist pig thing, though, came out at one of the very first OfferMind, or the first OfferMind event, and I gave everyone a capitalist picture when they showed up, and it just exploded. It exploded. The reaction from people was huge. I had people messaging me crying, thanking me because they're like, you're finally saying the thing I didn't know how to say. And now I'm, you know, we got the shirts for our kids and we're teaching them how to just think like a moneymaker. And there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, like, I truly believe that we are standing on the cusp of, you know, capitalism versus socialism as a society. And, it's been cool to see how many people like stand up. Like, capitalism doesn't mean greed. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. So anyway, okay, let's, you can be greedy. The thing I was trying to tell is I was explaining this to someone, I think it was on a podcast. Like, how can you say that though, when capitalism is so evil? And I was like, it's like calling a car evil. Okay. Anything that has power, true power, you can use it for good or bad. Right. If I'm in a car and I am an idiot and I don't follow it, just the most standard traffic laws, and I act like all lights are green when they're not, and I act like, right, then that's a misuse of power. And yes, that's going to probably hurt people. It's the same thing as capitalism. It's a power. It's a power. That's it. It has done wonderful things. Albert Einstein has this awesome quote about capitalism. I'm going to botch it, but it's something like, capitalism has brought with it like many forms of progress, both in terms of finances, but also knowledge and reason. And I was like, holy cow, some deep track quote I found of Einstein. He knew a thing or two, right? So anyway, all right, so let me get to the actual main thing with this. We are starting a TV show. That's the kicker. There it is. The origins of creating our own TV show has been really fascinating just over the last 3 months. As Marley and I have been talking about this and all these things are going on, I'm realizing I don't want to go out on my own anymore. And it's so much larger than I ever envisioned as well. And there's so many people that want to be involved in it. You know, huge people. We have someone who's going to go like, hey, would you please white label our publishing company? Well, now Capitalist Pig Publishing is a thing, and we publish people's books, and I'm a funnel builder, right? So I help with the funnel strategy and how to launch it, how to get out the door. We have someone else who's like, hey, I know how to grow huge, massive email newsletter businesses. Can I please put can I do it under your banner? I'm like, heck yeah. So now that's being created right now as we speak. There's a podcast network, right, that helps people get sponsors and guests on their podcast. That's under the Capitalism banner. There's the swag line. There's the media side of it. It has blown up. I have never in 11 years of being an entrepreneur ever had this much stuff take off with this level of speed, with this level of expertise. I find myself needing to learn how to be a better leader because I'm leading leaders rather than leading a project and handing it to a team to run. It's very different. I feel like the earth is moving beneath my feet at a pace that I just have never experienced. And it's been very, very fun. Every time I try to act like my mission is something else, because I've had people tell me, like, I don't know how Capitalist Pig is ever going to be a business. So I'm like, all right, I should listen. You know, you probably know what you're talking about. Every time. It's like I'm abandoning part of my soul. It's really weird. I feel like this is literally part of my next professional purpose, is to go teach people what capitalism is and is not, and help fight the fight that let's stay capitalists, you know? So here's really what happened. Marley and I were talking like, well, through all this stuff, right? And then we were like, what if we documented the journey of the creation of the Capitalist Pig, or really what we're doing, this brand, right? She's like, kind of like you did when you left your job. And so much of my following came from that. We're like, yeah, wouldn't that be cool if we, like, I don't know, we could get a film crew to help us create some episodes about what it is, what it isn't, get a little more, you know. I'm so excited, you guys. I know I've kind of been doing this podcast like onesie twosie as I drive my kids around or things like that, but we're about to dump almost $60,000 a month in the content for the next 2 years, and we're about to pull the trigger. In fact, we should be pulling the trigger. If it's not this week, then it's next week. I'm about to get real loud, louder than I ever was before I kind of got quiet. Very, 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 very loud. And I guess part of me documenting this is just citing the fact that it's okay to take a knee professionally if you're trying to figure out your next angle. You know, keep making money, but that's different than, like, you know, being on mission, being on purpose, you know. But anyway, so we're talking about this, and Marley messages a friend just kind of about the idea, and she goes, holy cow, there's a TV producer I know of. Let me just see if he's available. And I'm not kidding. Within 24 hours, we're on the phone with him, and he's learning about us, and he's going deep on our stuff, and he's like, oh, there's something here. And then 5 days after that, he flies out, and we spend a whole weekend with a film crew. This already happened. And at the end, he's like, I'm doing tons of research on what you guys do in this whole world. And this guy is legit. He produced the TV show Botched and Real Housewives and Vanderpump Rules and all these acts. They're all reality TV shows. So it's really interesting. He brings a reality. I'm not a reality TV show watcher, and that is not what we are creating. But it comes in. He comes in with this style of filming that is very captured as it happens, and we'll create this episode and storyline after. And so we filmed for 2 days, and we created a sizzle reel. We created a teaser, and we got it back about 2 weeks ago, and we've been showing it to huge companies because we found out, just so you know, usually traditionally costs about $2 to $3 million to create a 12 episode season. And so now we're just finding people to, like, either through brand sponsorships and brand placements or investors or whatever, we have tons of calls, and we've been, it's happening. Like, the very first massive company that we pitched on this, they were like, holy cow, like, no one's ever really done this before, and it's going to show a part of our world that I think people hear about, but there's no show around. And part of the reason why this guy that we're doing it with, legit career, you know, 25-year-long TV producer, wants to do with us, he's like, he told me when we were at a restaurant and just chatting and trying to get to know each other a little bit better, he's like, you know, we need a show about a young capitalistic couple that, you know, walks everybody through kind of like a day in the life of. And I said, my whole goal for doing this is that we take people who are on the fence about what capitalism is and not sure what it is, and they see our lives, and they see, you know, they, not that we're trying to be like the end all be all attractive character, like, ooh, follow us, we're the best. It's not like that at all, you know. But I basically want to use it as conversion material, right? Like, hey, America, capitalism's cool and largely misunderstood. Right, there's idiots and jerks out there that have used it for terrible things, just like a car, just like a...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Gun, just like anything with real power, right? But that doesn't mean the car is evil. You know what I'm saying? Or the gun, and I'll stand on that one, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's, man. And so it's been really fascinating to see this whole thing unfold, and the speed that it's unfolded has been like breakneck speed. Just the, and we have some of the top YouTube producers on the planet who are, we just signed with. They're going to be producing our stuff. They're some of the biggest people that literally ranked some of the biggest names. They're the original people that blew them up. We have some of the biggest people. It's like, it's, I don't know what it is. I think half of it is timing. Maybe it's just the right time for this stuff to come out. Maybe it's that I'm ready, which I know that's also true. And I'm very much different, even compared to 4 years ago. Very different human being. I know that, I don't know. It's a culmination of just this perfect storm, if you will. And we're ready. It's filmed kind of like a reality show, but it's not a reality show. We're calling it, it's almost like a docu-series. Season one is almost been funded, and we have, we just been coordinating schedules and events for this producer to come out literally in like a week or two with the film crew and start filming. I told him, I was like, dude, I don't watch reality TV show. No offense. I just don't. I was like, if you're going to script that I have to throw a bottle of wine in episode two, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm out. I said, our lives are already interesting enough, slightly chaotic enough. I'm dropping my girls off while preparing for a pitch and then going and consulting someone on their event. We're getting on a plane to go help a company that is like way past $100 million and then getting on another plane to go help a company that's barely past six figures but paid my fee and wants my help, right? Then I'm coming back and I'm writing a book with Russell Brunson right now. And then I'm coming over here, right? Like, and then I own my own freaking stage. We got a client coming on and doing their event, and suddenly all the slides died. Someone needs to, and I got to go talk to the AV guy who's brand new. Do you know where the button is? Right? Like, there's enough stuff going on in just the day-to-day of business. I was like, I don't need you to script drama. Just, he's like, no, that's why this needs to be what it is. He's like, reality TV show is defined as a show that doesn't necessarily have a script in the moment. And then it's very obvious that the storylines begin, like, evolves over time. And the camera always finds the thread, and we just follow the thread, and then we turn it into an episode. I was like, oh. So that's what's happening. That's what's been going on. Capitalist Pig is a media company, and we have a children's book series that'll be coming out, teaching kids about money, called Capitalist Piglets, with legit authors writing it. We have, it's been, there's nothing has ever flowed with such intensity and so much demand. I've never been on the cusp. I'm just saying a lot, you know, the funnel space and being involved in that a lot, like, that exploded and it was awesome, but it was chaos. And I vowed when I left that I didn't want to. It felt like chaos, you know. I was like, how can I go grow something next time without it being so chaotic? And I don't know if that's possible. Maybe it's a pipe dream. Maybe I'm, you know. But obviously, I'm fine with a little chaos. What I don't want is frantic, right? I think you can grow stuff with a lot more systems. And, you know, honestly, that experience taught me the value of systems and processes and team and creating leverage and building a business where a person is not the business or the face or the brand. And so, you know, anyway, all right, well, that's what's been going on. I'll create a little outro here that says, hey, you want to follow along as we produce a TV show? Go to bubbabot.com so you can see the trailer. We had to finish the trailer really fast because the dude that was creating it, he's a professional TV trailer creator. And he's like, I have another TV trailer to go create. And it's such a fun, the whole experience has been wild. And then we were like, oh my gosh, like we're like two steps away, a step away from some of these large names that we've wanted to go work with and produce stuff with. So I know that Marley's dream has always been to create movies. And now that this is happening, we're like, let's fast forward 2 or 3 years, you know, there's probably a situation where that happens. So anyway, things have just been exploding in all the right ways. I guess at the risk of this sounding like a braggy episode, part of why I've been shooting this on out is that I want to encourage, if things haven't been feeling like they're flowing, sometimes taking a step away and observing can teach you more than simply sprinting to the next project and hoping that this is the one that takes off. It's like, maybe there's a strategy problem going down, you know, or maybe it's you. Maybe you're showing up for the wrong reason, you know, which is the wrong reason. There's nothing wrong with needing to make money and making money. But there's also a point, though, where you're like, stuff's not taking off because your soul's not in it, you know, or I've always felt that your mission is, you know, on this path versus that path or whatever. And eventually that stuff catches up with you and is very real. Last little story. There was when I was getting a picture with RFK and I was giving him the Capitalist Pig pledge, there was a dude that was standing in the, there's this guy that was waiting in line with me, and there's soft music playing in the background because we were underneath the stadium, packed stadium, you know, and I was like doing this little jig, or sorry, he's doing this little jig, just kind of dancing to it a little bit. I turned, I looked at him, I was like, hey, and he just smiled. He's like, hey, I was like, good song. He's like, yeah. And we got in this huge chat. And he turns out, and this is what we talked about, he went down a similar path that I did. He was unnaturally successful very fast early in his career, and then kind of plateaued for a little bit, you know, for a couple of years. And he was smiling because he's hearing me, and then I was hearing him, and I was like, and then he, you know, he's probably 10, 15 years older than me. And I was like, so how'd you get out of it then? And he was just smiling super big. He's like, dude, I went through the exact same thing. I was like, really? I was like, what the hell? Like this, it was hard, you know? I was like, it's, you know, to be so explosively successful at the beginning. And then it's not like I was failing, but it just wasn't as explosive. You know what I mean? I was like, it's always going to be, you know, and then you go through that cycle phase where things plateau for just a little bit. Not that you're failing or broke or dying in a gutter or anything like that. That's not what was happening, but just it was different. You know, I went through that phase for a little while, and I'm coming out. It's over now. But I did that for a little while, and I was like, how do you get out of it? And he goes, well, there's a secret sauce. And I was like, what's the secret sauce? And he got really serious with me. And he was this guy, if you can picture a guy who's like kind of like jolly in nature the whole time we're talking. And then as soon as he says there's a secret sauce, he literally squared shoulders with me. He like stood face to face, squared shoulders, and got slightly uncomfortably close to me. And he got really, and he goes, there is a secret sauce. And he goes, this is part of the secret sauce. He goes, if you don't wake up every morning, right, with your vision oozing into every cell of your DNA, where you want it so bad and you're so excited, not that it's frantic or crazy, but you're excited, if it's not absolutely oozing through you, right, that's a problem. And then he said something that I have started saying on this podcast and several other places, which I can't believe how wrong I was about this, and I just was. And he goes, dude, emotion is the secret sauce. And I was like, yes. How stupid that we try to turn it off. Right? That doesn't mean that you're emotional, as in you have no emotional bearing or foundation and can't regulate yourself. It's not that at all. It's adding emotion to your discipline. Go, right? Energy, right? That's like natural. There's so much energy and emotion. And he's like, he said, that's the secret sauce. And then is that my time to take a picture with RFK? And he got out of line and I never really saw him again. Well, that's not, I guess I did see him in the box that they had us in the stadium. I talked to him afterwards for a couple more minutes, but and then after that, then I saw him again. And I was like, I just told him how much that I appreciated that little chat. He goes, that's what it is. And I was like, there is an angle of all of this that I am trying to go down that I just have not been able to yet. And he goes, you're working on the wrong stuff. And that was right as I started making the decision to go full in on Capo's Pig, despite all the people that I know and mentors and masterminds telling me to not. Pretty much routinely telling me I shouldn't. And I was like, why? And now this has evolved into something that is, I don't even know that I can't even tell I have words for it yet. It's been moving at such a speed that Marley and I literally just decided to, at first we just kind of joined the top of our business, like my mastermind and consulting program blended with hers. And then we're like, what if is this one too? Okay. What about this one? We just did a full integration. She and I have our complete business together. And since then also just, I've never experienced such seamless growth. I've never experienced such seamless day-to-day ops. I've never experienced such seamless, wow, this team. First time in 4 years where I'm like, this is our team. This is the perfect team. We have the perfect team, you know, and it's been such a fascinating thing. So I don't know if this episode helped anyone at all. I guess part of it is just to be real. And, you know, you can have the coolest funnel strategies and offers and traffic and all this stuff. But if you're missing the secret sauce, you know, if you know you're not on your mission, if you know you're not on the, you know, then it probably won't work anyway. And I really have experienced that many times in my career. And I'm coming out of a big one. I'd say it's over. And I'd say that it ended about 6 months ago. And it's created just this domino effect of all this crazy cool stuff. So I'm not leaving the funnel space. Well, that's not true. I'm not really trying to go grow the funnel space anymore. I'm more or less taking the skill sets and the things I learned from there and taking it into a much broader market. So I purposely spent 10 years in the funnel space. I was like, it's going to be easier for me to become a big fish in a little pond, especially when I'm still so quote unquote little, right? Like meaning this is the 10 years ago version of me talking. I was like, I'm not going to go try to be someone huge in the entrepreneurship space yet. I need a massive win first. And then once I'm a big fish in a little pond, because the funnel space was little still back then, and still kind of is, right, comparative to the website market, right? I was like, now I'm going to take these internet marketing and funnel skills, and I'm going to go straight into the biggest, very competitive entrepreneurship market where I'm going to try and be a Kiyosaki. So I thought I was going to spend the next like 2 or 3 years trying to dominate the internet marketing space. But the more I kept trying to do that, and that's the market positioning I was taking. And then it just, nothing really flowed, man. And I think, not to get woo-woo, but I do think it was the universe and God kind of saying like, hey, this is just going to slow you down and waste your time. Just skip this market and go to the next big one. You already got this. You got enough skills and name in here. Go to the next one where you can actually do your real thing. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing. Over the next 4 years, Capo's Pig will become one of the largest national brands in the entrepreneurship space. Media company. It's going to produce tons of books out. We actually already have, I think, 4 people who have agreed to co-author books under the banner of Capo's Pig. We just started the first. We got the second one starting next month or in 6 weeks. That's amazing. It's all these branches of publishing under one Capo's Pig banner. Email newsletter, physical newsletter, children's books, adult books. Tons of forms of different kinds of publications and books. Publications and publishing. And under that banner. It's, you know, it's really fascinating. What I'm really trying to do and the strategy I'm going after is, you know, Kiyosaki put out Rich Dad Poor Dad, making a name for it. And then under the umbrella of Rich Dad, he co-authored a book with his CPA, you know, and then he co-authored a book with his real estate person. And then he co-authored a book with gold, you know, and then one with silver, and then one with, right. And that's kind of what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing is, I always saw this interesting that if you look at guys like Grant Cardone or Kiyosaki or anything like that, they use the info product model in a publishing company to fuel their real estate acquisitions, which I thought was fascinating. So that's also kind of what we're doing as well. There's definitely an investment wing. And funny enough, that kind of fell in our lap also. I'm not going to talk about that part yet, but... literally puts me a handshake away from Kiyosaki himself. It's really exciting. So, anyway, a lot of work ahead of us, but I've never had so much fun. I've had a lot of fun in other ways too, but it was also frantic, chaotic, very anxiety producing. It was hard, you know? So this is very different. All right. I'm going to go create a little outro thing so you guys can know. It's probably going to be like thecapitalistpig.com or rarethings.com or something like that where you guys can go in and see the sizzle reel and get on like an early bird mailing list for it for when the first episode drops. We don't know. I mean, we'll do an actual launch, of course. This is not the announcement. This is not the launch. This is me just kind of documenting. So whatever lesson you need to pull out of there, I'm just trusting you did. So you guys are awesome. Let me know how you like the podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
One of the most conflicting feelings I've ever experienced in business is, uh-oh, it worked. Now what? So much of our early entrepreneurial journey is focused on skills to build and launch our business, but what do we actually do when it actually starts working? It's a completely different set of skills required to grow or even maintain a business compared to simply building and launching a product. And if you think about it, our internet business industry is loaded with help, advice, courses, and coaching meant for the beginning of the business journey, but there's a lot less help when it works. That's why I created the Titans of Industry Consulting and Mastermind Group. It's for elite entrepreneurs who have a unique offer. Creative entrepreneurs need a lot of structure to support their unnatural genius, and Titans of Industry is not a normal mastermind. We do not celebrate burnout. We do not hope for profits, we design them. We don't design business systems with ourselves at the center either. Typically when someone joins, I get someone who's creative but almost trapped by their creation because it worked. So our job is to help them build simple business structures, allowing them to return to their creative cave, which the world needs from true innovators. That's why the first focus we have for each new member is to double their daily lead flow, but do it while removing themselves. To learn more about Titans of Industry and get a quick glimpse of the structures we help innovators build, join us at titansofindustry.com. Just remember that if you don't have any documented business systems, it actually means that you are the business system. Join the Titans of Industry to remove the golden handcuffs that are probably around you right now and keep your innovation thriving. We're a tight-knit group with a high standard, and we'd love to have you. Learn more at titansofindustry.com.